Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ashoka Buildcon Limited Q4 FY22 and FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Parikh from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Peter. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers, I welcome everyone to the Q4 FY22 and FY22 full year earnings call for Ashoka Buildcon Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Satish Parakh, Managing Director, and Mr. Paresh Mehta, the CFO, with us. We will start with the opening remarks from the management regarding the industry, the results, and post which we will open up for the interactive Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Meet. Good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone on our earnings conference call for quarter ended and year ended March 31st, 2022. Along with me, I have Mr. Paresh Mehta, our CFO, on the call. Let me start with highlighting key developments in the financial year 2022. We have finalized the long-awaited equity sale of six projects, and we will be able to provide exit to SBI Macquarie, private equity investor in Asia. We have registered highest ever revenue till date, and we have achieved highest order intake in any financial year and recorded highest closing order book. Let me give an update on equity sale of ACL projects. As mentioned earlier, we have successfully entered into an asset sale transaction of Ashoka Concessions Limited of five SPVs by entering into a share subscription and share purchase agreement with Galaxy Investments II Private Limited, an affiliate entity of KKR. The deal to be completed by September 2022 after receiving required approvals from lenders, NHAI, and other relevant stakeholders, and completion of certain condition precedents. We have received approvals from few lenders and some permissions from NHAI. We are in the process of completing the balance CPs. The deal transfers the entire share capital of these five BOT projects, including repayment of shareholders' loan for an aggregate consideration of 1,337 crores. The total proceeds received will be utilized to facilitate the exit of SBI and Macquarie from Ashoka Concessions Limited, allowing SBI Macquarie to exit the company fully. Further transfer of these SPVs will reduce the consolidated project debt of ABL by 3,090 crores. Also, we have executed a share purchase agreement with National Investment and Infrastructure Fund for the sale of 100% equity of Chennai ORR for an aggregate financial consideration of 686 crores. Out of 686 crores, ABL is expected to receive 450 crores, that is 250 crores towards loan repayment and around 200 crores towards its 50% equity stake in SPV. Post this transaction, the company will remain with following major projects in highway portfolio. 74% equity stake in one toll project, that is Jaora-Nayagaon. Three fully owned annuity projects, that is Hungund-Talikot, Bagewadi-Saundatti from KSHIP. and fully owned portfolio of 11 HAM projects. As mentioned earlier, we are in discussions for the equity sale of Jaora-Nayagaon BOT toll project. Coming to HAM projects, we have executed concession agreement with NHAI worth rupees 1079 crores for the development of 6-lane access controlled greenfield highway from kilometer 162.5 to kilometer 203.10, that is Baswantpur to Singodi, section of NH150 on hybrid NUT mode under Bharatmala Pariyojana. The construction period is 912 days and the operation period is 15 years. The total equity requirement of all 11 HAM projects is about 1080 crores, of which we have already invested 739 crores as of March 2022. Coming to our order book, as mentioned, we have achieved a robust order book inflow of around 9,793 crores from 1st April to 21 till date. And some of the key and large orders of the above are, we have received LOA from NHAI of 829 crores for construction of 6-laning from Belgaon to Sankeshwar bypass on NH48 in the state of Karnataka on EPC mode. We have received an LOA for railway electrification order of 618 crores in the state of Assam from North Frontier Railway. We have also received LOA for NCGM rupees 1046 crores for construction of sewage treatment plants based on India technology. And as I said earlier, we have executed a concession agreement with NHAI for 1079 crores for the development of Baswantpur to Singodi, which is section of NH. The breakup of 13,731 crores order book as of March 31 is, road project comprise around 7,906 crores, which is 58% of our total order book. And among the road projects order book, HAM projects are to the tune of 2454 crores and EPC projects are to the tune of 5452 crores. Power T&D and others account for around 2258 crores, which is approximately 17% of the total order book. The EPC building segments contribute around 2177 crores, which is 16% of the total order book, while the railway stood at 1,226 crores, which is 9% of the total order book. And the VEPC order of CGD is to the tune of 65 crores. The current order book, including the projects received post-March, stands at 14,633 crores. Let me reiterate that our focus remains to build strong EPC business in segments of highways, railways, power, T&D and buildings. The current order book of 14,633 crores provides us with a good visibility of EPC business growth. On assets portfolio front, we have already built 11 project portfolio in terms of new project building. Our priority will remain for HAM projects and strengthen the HAM project portfolio further. This is all from my side. I would now request Mr. Paresh Mehta to present financial performance of Q4 FY22.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. The result presentation and press release for the quarter have been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company's website too. I believe you all may have had an opportunity to go through them. Now I will present the financial results for the quarter ended March 31st, 2022. Starting with the consolidated results, the total income of Q4 FY22 grew by 15% year on year to Rs. 2057 crores as compared to Rs. 1780 crores in Q4 FY21. EBITDA stood at 632.6 crores in Q4 FY22 with a margin of 30.8%. Profit after tax is at 224.6 crores in Q4 FY22. Now coming to the standalone numbers, the total income for Q4 FY22 stands at Rs. 1622.7 crores as compared to 1433 crores in corresponding quarter last fiscal, registering a growth of 13.2%. EBITDA for the quarter was at Rs. 219.8 crores with an EBITDA margin of 13.5%. The company reported net profit after tax for Rs. 188 crores in Q4 FY22. During Q4 FY22, BOT division recorded a toll collection of 269 crores as against 261 crores in Q4 FY21 and Rs. 257 crores in Q3 FY22. Total consolidated debt as on March 31, 2022 is at 6,698 crores, of which project debt is 5,961 crores, of which Rs. 3,090 crores stands for project debt of 5 BOT projects. NCDs stood at Rs. 250 crores at ECL level. The standalone debt stood at 486 crores, which comprises of 201 crores of equipment loan and 285 crores of working capital loans. Out of the total consolidated debt of Rs. 6,698 crores, Rs. 3,090 crores will be transferred along with 5 SPVs of BOT. Post the sale transition, effective consolidated debt would be 3,608 crores. During Q4, company has initiated sale of its investment in GVR Ashoka Chennai Aura Limited, a joint venture of the company, for which share purchase agreement with NIIF has been signed for a consideration of 686 crores, subject to certain adjustments specified in the SPA towards its equity investments, loans given and other receivables from the said joint venture. Accordingly, the said investments along with loans and other receivables amounting to Rs. 346 crores have been classified as asset held for sale. With this, we now open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congrats on a good set of numbers, first of all. And sir, I had two questions. So can you give us a revenue, margin and order book guidance for FY23?
So FY23 looks very good with the program of Ministry of Surface Transport, and they are really very aggressive and they are planning around 18,000 kilometers of roads in NHI, MoRTH, NHIDCL and state NH together. So we feel we should be able to, the order inflow should be 10,000 plus in this year, and revenue guidance will remain like we should grow by 20 to 25% in this year. Even our current balance order book is also quite significant.
Yeah. And the margin, sir?
Margins will remain same what we have been already targeting, the same margins.
Somewhere around 13 to 15%?
Around 11 to 12%.
11, okay. Sir, you talked about this Chennai ORR. So will we book any gains through the sale in Q1 FY23?
We expect the sale transaction to happen Q1 hopefully, or latest by Q2. So the moment it happens, there would be possibility of a gain book based on the price which we have indicated.
Okay. And sir, any further updates on NTPC EPC project that we had? Did we reach any middle ground with the department?
No, NTPC is, we are proceeding with all balance works except the modules.
Okay, and one last final question, sir. Sir, what is the status of Jabalpur asset sale?
So you're referring to Jaora-Nayagaon asset sale?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so on the Jaora-Nayagaon asset sale, we are in talks with the potential investor, and we expect it to close as early as possible. We are two investors, Ashoka Buildcon and Ashoka Concessions, along with Macquarie as a separate investor there. So we are negotiating with a potential investor.
Okay, and just if I may add one more, sir, are we looking to add more solar EPC projects?
See, solar EPC, we are at present no opportunities we are looking at. Maybe we will evaluate if it comes across.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashish Shah with Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you. So first question is on the Belgaum-Khanapur project. Over the last couple of quarters, we are not seeing much progress in terms of execution. So just wanted to check, you know, what is the status there?
Thank you, sir.
See, Belgaum-Khanapur actually has a major bypass of 10 kilometers. And this got released only after pre-COD we got. So we got pre-COD at 56%. And now Belgaum bypass is released. So we'll see progress in coming quarters.
Sure. Okay. So by when do you think this could get completed? Within 23?
1 year exactly from now. So.
Okay. So within by and large within F23. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Also, on some of the newer projects on the building EPC side, if you can just highlight where we are in terms of being able to start the work, especially Maldives, the Zodiac Hospital one, the sewage treatment project in Mumbai, if you can just highlight.
So all these projects are basically expected to start in Q2. Maldives, we are yet to get clearance from Exim Bank to start the project, which we are expecting in Q1 or maybe early Q2. Zodiac Hospital, again, same thing. Either we get it in Q1 or maybe early Q2. Sewage treatment, though we have signed the LOI, agreement is yet to be signed, which will happen in Q1. And real project will take off in Q3, Q4.
Okay. And in Maldives, sir, is there any chance of the order getting cancelled? I mean, because if they're not able to tie up funding, is there any possibility of that project being taken out?
There is absolutely, we don't see any chance of this project getting deleted. It's on priority of government and definitely it will happen.
Right, sir. Fine, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Vibhor Singhal with PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. And congrats on great execution again. So my question, so we've got a couple of questions. So the first question was, in terms of the remaining HAM projects, the four packages of Tumkur, Shivamoga and the Kanti Ramchandrapalli project. What is the status on these projects and when do we expect any COD for these projects going forward?
So Tumkur Shimoga TS1 pre-COD is already recommended.
Okay.
TS2 will get in the end of maybe Q1 or early Q2. TS3 and TS4 are
early stage.
They have just started, so yet to.
Right.
So yeah, may go into next year.
We might have just started there.
I beg your pardon?
Same with the Kandi Ramsanpalli project also?
There Kandi also we are expecting in Q2. Yes, we'll get COD in Q2, yeah. These are all at advanced stage of completion, yeah.
Got it. Sure, sir. Also, sir, my second question was on the margins front. I mean, this quarter we saw margins dip slightly, though not very sharply.
So margin funds, definitely there was pressure due to, all commodity prices going up.
Right.
And also fuel prices going up, which were not exactly matching with the pass-through available in the project. But of late, if you see last 18 days are very positive after government taking certain measures on export and import duties. So steel prices have now coming down to the normal. And cement also will follow is what we see. So going ahead, we will be able to retain the projected margins. This is what is.
That you have guided to. Got it. And sir, during the course of this 11 to 12% margins in next year, could we see more softening in Q1 or Q2, and then maybe pick up in Q3, Q4, or do you think next quarter itself should be good enough?
The pickup, see, normally pickup happens only in Q3, Q4. So Q1, Q2 will be still, Q1 will be good. Q2 is affected by monsoon badly. So it all depends upon how much it affects and which areas it affects. But we will see decent growth in Q1 and Q3, Q4 will be a robust growth here.
Okay. The last question from my side, I know it is difficult to predict and I think there are multiple permissions which are remaining. But any timeline that you believe that you would be able to complete the BOT sale deal and the cash could be in our books and Macquarie could be provided? When do you think this entire thing will get completed? Yes, I mean.
Yeah, these are at advanced stages now. So definitely September is our targeted timelines.
Okay.
But even if a delay happens, it could be another 1 or 2 months. It cannot be more than that.
So, yeah. Got it, sir. Great, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vasudev with Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So the first question is, what is the pending equity infusion in the HAM project? And if you can give the year-wise schedule for the equity infusion.
Yeah, so total equity to be infused, including the latest 11th project which you have got, that is the Singodi project, total equity is 345 crores, of which 255 crores will have to be funded in FY22-23 and 90 crores in FY23-24.
Okay, got it, thank you. And what was the capex that we did in Q4 and what is that we're planning for FY23?
So capex is almost to the tune of around 90 crores. And for 22-23, we are expecting a capex of approximately 125 to 150 crores.
Okay, 125 to 150. Yeah, and for the Q4, can you get the revenue breakup between the segments like road, power, T&D, etc.?
So, on the for Q4, on road sector, the total revenue was 1,100 crores. On the power, it was 267 crores. On railways, it was 136 crores. And other sectors put together was approximately 50 odd crores.
Sorry, can you repeat?
50 crores.
50 crores. And for railways, you said 136, right?
136.
Okay, and what would be these figures for FY22 as a whole?
For FY22 as a whole, it would be approximately for road sector, 3,501 crores.
Okay.
410 crores for power. 448 crores for railway. And balance approximately 130 crores for the other like CGD Smart.
Okay. Sir, for the Jaora-Nayagaon project, you said that we are in advanced stages of discussion. So, any timeline by when we can expect this?
As you said, we are under discussions with the investors, and we expect it to be closed in a couple of months' time. It all depends how all things fall in place.
Okay, so could we expect it in at least FY23 or it can spill over to the next year?
Should definitely happen in FY23.
Okay, that's great, sir. And one last thing, what are the debt levels that we're targeting for FY23?
FY23, we being at 6,700 and with the new projects to be executed, the balance HAM projects to be executed and that we would be in the range of around 7,000 odd crores.
Okay, 7,000 crores. Okay, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Jiten Rushi with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on super quarter. Sir, the question of the order inflow. So, sir, last quarter we were discussing about the order inflow from the subcontracting work of Ganga Expressway. So, any progress on that side, sir?
Ganga Expressway, we have not participated as an EPC contractor. So, we are expecting order inflow from NHAI and the projects.
Any outstanding bids as of now in NHA or we'll be submitting?
Yeah, there are some bids under consideration.
Again on the balance sheet numbers, if you can provide unbilled revenue, mobilization advances and retention money as on March.
Yeah, I will get that. One second. So the total debt as of March 22, total debtors rather, including hold and retentions, is 1,112 crores. Unbilled revenue is around 813 crores. Total receivable is around 1,926 crores, against which we have 408 crores of advances and a net unbilled revenue is around 600 crores. So,
sir, I'm not able to get you. So, you said, sir, unbilled is 813 crores. You said debtors, which is including retention, is 1,113
crores. Of negative and positive impact is 613 crores.
So 613 crores is what?
Unbilled revenue. Net unbilled revenue.
Okay, net unbilled revenue. Okay. So, sir, mobilization advance you said is 408 crores, right, sir?
Yes, yeah.
And retention, exact number can you provide, sir?
Retention 232 crores.
And sir, on the quarterly result, we can see other expenditure going up. So, largely gross margin declined. by 30 basis points, but majorly the EBITDA decline was due to higher other expenditure. And can you also explain the increase in other income in this quarter and the negative tax effect?
Didn't get the question, sir.
Sir, my question was on the other expenditure for the quarter was high. Other income was also high. And the negative tax impact. Can you please explain that for the quarter in standalone results?
So other income is high basically because we have moved from a 2021 COVID period when quite a substantial portions of fixed expenses were reduced in 2021, which is now back to normal. There are certain CSR expenditures made in other expenses, which is accounted in this quarter. On the income side, there are certain write-backs of payables resulting in additional income. And as I said, on the tax side, there is a saving on tax because we have written off the interest receivable from ACL, which we have written off, and that we have taken as a credit in our tax workings.
So basically, sir, you said other income was high basically because of the write-back which you have done. So what would be that write-back?
Certain write-backs and certain miscellaneous receipts like insurance.
Yeah. And so what is the CSR expenditure included in other expenditure which resulted in the spike?
Around 8 to 9 crores. 9 crores.
Okay. And the tax saving is because of the interest reversal. We have written off in ACL for which we have received a tax credit.
Right,
sir?
Right.
And sir, in the opening remarks, you said about the share you received from the stake sale in Chennai overall at 450 crores. So, balance is with SBI Macquarie. Is my understanding correct?
No. This is a 50-50 joint venture with
right.
GVR Infra as one of the other core partners. The balance will go to the other partner.
Okay, but sir, you mentioned here that we will be acquiring stake from GVR in the post with the deal will conclude. So then we will be the 100% owner of the SPV. So won't we get the whole amount? Just want to understand that.
I mean, this is more of a reconciliation. No doubt we are going to sell it 100%, but AVL will retain 450 and balance has to pass through AVL to GVR Intra as consideration for their stake. Cost.
So, sir, as mentioned in the notes to accounts, this deal is at around 2x price to book if you add up to your equity receivables and loans given to SPV, right, sir?
Right.
Mr. DK, this is...
Yeah, I'll come back in the queue. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Right.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Parikshit Kanpa with HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is on the balance sheet. So can you please reconcile this loans item, which is like 1,094 crores, which has become zero now?
Unable to hear you.
So in the balance sheet, standalone balance sheet, there is one item in the non-current asset side, which is loan of about 1,094 crores in March 21, which has now become zero. So can you just, I think this has gone into current assets. So can you just reconcile this?
So this is loans given to ACL, Ashok Francis Limited, which has now become payable as current because we expect the deals to happen and all the accounts to get squared off.
Okay, so this is basically your investments, loans and advances and other equity investments in the ACL portfolio. So that has been transferred now.
Correct.
Right. And this asset has been traded for the Chennai ORR project, right? That's 425 crores.
Right, sir.
Okay. So the second question is on other income. So now how do we read the other income? So on a recurring basis, now the interest which we used to charge on the loans and advances, so now that will get knocked off. It won't get any more. So on a recurring basis, the other income will largely be the interest on our FDRs and scrappage and all other things, right? I mean, there won't be any other item, big items here.
Yeah, like other items like miscellaneous receipts, like as we said, scrap sale, insurance claims, these kind of items would keep on coming in.
Okay. And just one last question on this ACL, sir. So when the transaction closes at September or say you said there could be another, possibly there is another delay of 2 months, so maybe by third quarter of this financial year. Do you envisage any further write-offs on account of like the lost funding for this portfolio for the rest of the year? So if you can just give some color on that.
At present, we have taken account in account all impacts of the deal which is to happen, and we don't expect any further write-offs.
Okay. And on this cash inflow, which we're expecting from Chennai over our 450 crores, so, and plus Jawara Naigaon sale, which may happen, which will accrue some cash to us. So how do you intend to utilize this cash inflow, sir? So any thought there, if you can highlight in this financial year, how do we intend to distribute this or use this?
So definitely we will cross the bridge when it comes, but definitely from a planning perspective, this will be initially be utilized to give an exit to Macquarie, the initial portion of around 1200 crores. So the balance available will be used for propping up working capital and others, some other capital structure decision making, which will happen at the right time.
Okay. So anything like working on some special dividend or some buyback, any plans out there?
That could be a possibility, because if that is, there is surplus cash, there is no point in keeping the cash at the company level.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Right.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Deepika Mehta with Axis Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yep.
Yeah, can you tell me, I mean, this is a basic question, but can you tell me how does the cost of construction change? What was the split earlier and what is the split now in terms of because of the value increase, price increases, and also because of the change of steel that the government has allowed?
Hello. Yeah, if I understand your question correctly, you're asking the impact of price rise, right?
Right.
So normally, you know, all the NHI projects or MRTH projects, there is a pass-through which is linked to indices,
right,
of a particular commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So now what happens is the indices don't move in tandem with the market. So when there is a sudden rise in steel or cement prices, there's definitely an impact on the overall working.
Right.
So what normally we follow is we try to delay those kind of purchases. Sometimes the turnover also get delayed. So if you see my particularly Q1, it'll get slightly affected because of this price rise. Because decisions have been delayed accordingly. Little progress has been delayed to see. And fortunately, it's now favoring us when government has intervened and they are taking corrective actions.
Okay. Can you also tell me the breakup of a cost of construction of, say, suppose a 6-lane highway road? Product-wise, like cement and steel.
So cement steel should compromise around 30-35%.
Okay.
Including bitumen. These are the three basic prices which affect.
Okay.
Bitumen, steel and cement. And fuel is another component which normally varies from 10-12%.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the labor amount. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Alok Deora with Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on decent numbers. Sir, just wanted to understand this 10,000 crore of order inflows which we are targeting. So any bids which we have made which are yet to open, and from which segments we are looking at these new orders from?
So there are certain bids which are yet to open. These are around 3,000 crores, which includes railways, metros, and some NH projects. And order inflow we are looking from, of course, from NHAI and MRTH, where they have aggressive plan of 18,000 kilometers to be announced, as again 12,000 kilometers which they did last year. Then if you look at railways and metros and semi-high-speed railways, they are also throwing up a good opportunity. Power sector also, distribution programs are now coming up, and they are also coming up with large budgets. So all these three sectors are going to throw up good amount of opportunity.
Sure. And sir, on the margins, I believe you mentioned about margin guidance of nearly 11 to 12%. But if you see the margins now, since the last two, three quarters, it's been slightly weaker than that. And you know, so how confident are we on this 11 to 12% margin, sir?
See, going ahead, this volatility will be captured in the new bids. So what we are suffering is only on the fixed price contracts. And the fixed price contract where we are suffering is hardly 10% of the entire order book. So margins will definitely be able to maintain at 11-12%.
Sure. I think that's all from my side. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Devam with Adeco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So firstly, just wanted to understand about the consol balance sheet. So from what we understand is that roughly if we net off the liabilities held for sale and the assets held for sale, the remaining balance sheet is what is supposed to be the balance sheet that will continue post the deal. Is that the right understanding? Post the ACL deal.
Right.
And in this case, what would be the adjustment to this balance sheet once the GBR deal is concluded? What will be the changes in that balance sheet which is there?
What will happen is this asset for sale, which is held as asset, will get knocked off from the balance sheet and some gain will be booked. As we said, it is 2x. Whatever excess we get on the equity will be booked as income side.
So that will flow through to the net worth basically.
Right.
This when we are saying, so you are saying the GBR deal is also included in the liabilities held for sale?
No. GBR, Chennai.
The Chennai Aura on top of this 6,600, which I understand is with regards to the ACLD. That is those 5 assets. On top of that, there will also be the Chennai Aura deal, which is not being captured in this balance sheet, right?
No, it is asset held and held for sale. It's part of that.
Assets held for sale include the 5 assets plus Chennai Aura as well.
Right.
Okay. And apart from this, just wanted to check. So I think one of the earlier participants mentioned regarding dividend and or buyback. So any, obviously we all understand that buybacks are more friendlier than dividends on certain counts. So any thought process or any requirement that we have if we want to undertake a corporate action like a buyback, what kind of capital structure do we need to be at? And what kind of thinking would the promoter have with regards to, let's say, post this deal, what kind of capital structure we will reach and what will we have to do to reach, let's say, if we need to reduce the debt or something, how will we go about it?
So, for doing a dividend, I don't think so there's a challenge from the reserves point of view. On a buyback structure, there are certain compliances required to be done post doing the buyback, which we have to see, because unless those criteria are fulfilled, we will not be able to. In case the deal goes through, definitely we are confident that we would be eligible at least for doing a buyback. And once the buyback is done, it will all depend on what kind of amount of buyback we are looking at. Numbers could be anywhere,
So currently, sir, on that front, we have around 700 odd crores cash and bank with us, and plus I think some small investment part. what amount, because we understand it is not an easy thing to decide right now, but depending on the order book requirement, the growth requirement and all, what is the logic of thinking about what would be surplus cash as per us?
Sure, anything above around 50% would definitely be a surplus. 50% could be utilized for growing business, because we have HAM projects to be taken up periodically, so they'll get funded on its own, but seed capital available would help the HAM projects to progress faster. But as you said, whatever surplus is left out, 50% should be available for disposal.
So given that current cash balance is around 730 odd crores, you are saying after all the deals and everything, surplus could be what, roughly around 1,000 or more total, including this current cash balance?
Yeah, but the current 730 cash balance is at the CFS level, which typically is, most of the same is parked at the SPVs, which require extra level. If we actually talk of purely free
cash.
Cash balances would be in the range of, as per 31st March, what we have denoted at the standalone debt of 160 crores plus something from the SPV, which is parked there for just received in 31st March, would be around, say, 200 crores, of which more than 50% would be for guarantees and other purposes as lien.
Correct.
So the cash balance here would be nominal, approximately 50 to 100 crores, which you, and then any further amount receivable from the stake sale.
So what is the tentative amount which you are expecting from the stake sale towards this cash balance, which it will add, I mean, after netting off all the liabilities and all?
We've really not worked out that. We cross the bridge as in when we come around, because there are three deals under review. One is the KKR, one is the Chennaiora, and the third is in case we get into a JN Charanaigao deal.
And we understand we would also have sizable real estate on our balance sheet from the earlier buys that we would have done. Any thoughts of monetizing that at some point over the coming, any thoughts on that?
We do keep on looking at the opportunities of monetizing them. We have been doing a few, but in a very slower pace, where we have given out this land parcel for development purpose to a developer and a real estate player who is monetizing it. But we are looking out for opportunities.
Yeah, so on a very rough basis, what will be the sort of size and tentative market value of this real estate which is lying with us in the balance sheet right now, the Pune, Indore, Nasik, all these areas?
Approximately, we have around 270 crores of assets as per book value. We should be looking at not less than at least two times the price, if not more.
Sure. And finally, just on the order book, so we understand normally people say that 15 to 20% order book of order inflow of their existing year revenues is good to sustain the revenue growth. Now, we have a very large order inflow compared to existing year revenue. So what kind of ramp up in revenues should we expect, and are all the orders that we are showing in our current order book on an active note, and would it imply that there should be a 30-40% CAGR in revenues over the next 2 years?
So this year particularly we are expecting around 20 to 25%, and next year it will all depend upon how the real order inflow stacks up.
Sure, but the current order book that we have does not have anything which is moving slow or dormant or anything like that. Most of it is moving. Is that the correct impression?
The buildings order particularly are slow moving, so they really will pick up in Q3, Q4.
Okay, that is the 2,200 odd crore orders which is there.
Right.
Okay. Sure. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anupam Gupta with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead. Hello, Mr. Gupta. You can proceed with your question. Hello, Mr. Gupta. You can proceed with
Hello.
Your question.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So the question is related to the standalone debt which you have reported, sir. In the balance sheet, the debt appears to be 559 crore and cash appears to be 144, whereas in the presentation, the number is 486 crore of debt and 162 crore of cash. So where is the difference which is not visible in the reported balance sheet?
So certain debt is pertaining to related party debt from our subsidiaries or subsidiaries basically. So they,
okay.
Those are not external, they are internal debt from a standard
okay.
perspective. So 486 is the actual external debt.
Okay, and say, cash, why is the difference in cash?
So 161 cash balance you're talking about is approximately around say 40 odd crores would be cash received on the last date of the year which could not be appropriated with the loan accounts. And balance around 120 odd crores are cash bank balances which are leaned out to, bank balances leaned out to bankers for guarantees and other non-fund based facilities.
Okay, understand. And the second question is relating to the HAM asset. So you talked about Jaora being under negotiation, but what is the status on monetization of HAM? Will you be picking that up or is it already in negotiation for the monetization of those HAM projects?
We are in discussions, but nothing very concrete at this moment of time.
Okay.
We are intending to monetize these HAM projects. Fortunately, we have received only one full COD and others are under PCOD already received. So, of course,
yeah.
we are eligible to sell them off. Almost five projects are there ready for to sell them. But we're just waiting time. I mean, definitely signals which have been coming, increase in RBI lending rates have helped
yeah.
in establishing a better market price.
Right. Okay. Understand. And just one last question, sir. In terms of order inflows, when you talk about 10,000 crores, so the mix, if you see the order book mix in terms of roads has come down versus FY21, will that be the target mix for FY22 also, or will we go back to roads being dominant?
We will remain road focused. But now how the orders pan out, because today we have large number of players in the market. So we are not very sure what the mix would span out. But definitely our focus will be roads and highways. First preference, then railway, then power, and then buildings.
Understand. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Varun Murli, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I had a couple of questions. First question, just wanted to check whether with regards to your deal with KKR, I mean, do you see any risks to closure there given the market scenario? And number two, also any update on because last call and even in the latest CRISIL rating report, there was mention of some of that arbitration amounts with NHAI. So any update you can provide on those?
So we don't really expect any hindrances in the KKR deal irrespective of what's happening in the market presently. I think so. Markets have been rather buoyant from both perspectives. We have had good toll rate rise also. Interest rate rise are there, but they're not as significant and they're already factored. So we don't really feel much challenges in the execution of the KKRD. Secondly, on the CRISIL note of arbitration, yeah, these are being pursued at NHI level. Some are at arbitration, but many are, we are also taking them to conciliation processes.
Okay. Just one other question that I had, or in fact, like two other questions, if you could bear with me. This whole standalone revenue that you have, so what is the percentage contribution that you have on the standalone revenue as a result of maintenance that you undertake at these five KKR projects and the Chennai ORR project? So Just wanted to get some understanding, like what percentage of revenue would you be booking because of maintenance activities of these projects?
Yeah, that could be very minuscule. So these five projects, it would not be really significant. Then from a maintenance perspective, not more than 1%, 1 to 1.5%.
Okay. And my final question, I think I heard you say earlier on the con call that you are giving a debt guidance of 7,000 crores. So did I hear that right? I mean, because the number looked a bit off given the reduction in debt that is likely to happen over the next year.
Yeah, but there are two parts. So presently I am not factoring the deal receipts where they will be parked, because most of the debt is term loan debt, which are typically at SPV level. So I am not considering deal as part of the estimation of that 7,000 crores. And this 7,000 crores will be new projects, will be picking up debt. It will be slightly more than that also, and some debt being repaid for the current BOT projects.
Okay, so just so that I get the understanding right, this 7,000 crore guidance that you were giving was not assuming the deal, right? I mean,
yeah.
Because...
Okay. Exactly. And
okay.
Right, please go ahead.
No, that is all that I had. Fine. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to all participants, please restrict questions to two per participant. Our next question is from the line of Mahesh Badang with Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, couple of questions from my side. Firstly, I just wanted to understand, we have received annuity on two HAM projects. Was there any variation in terms of how much annuity you are supposed to receive and how much you actually received because of GST?
So, they have paid the annuity as per the agreement, subject to de-scope any, if any. But as far as GST concerned, the claim will be received separately from NHM. So suppose 100 rupees was to be received,
right,
that is 112 rupees. We have received 100 rupees, 12 rupees will be received in near future. We are sorting out that procedure and things, we will receive that same.
So the money that has been received, that has been adjusted for GST, right? Or actual receivable, they have not cut the GST, but they have actually raised the bill including the GST.
Yeah. We have raised the bill for annuity.
So basically we have received the cash flows that we wanted to, but we still have to pay 12 rupees upfront, which we will get it later.
Correct. Agreed. Which we already have credit at our GST account, which will be cash flow for the SPV.
Okay. And sir, the second one is on the project Baswantpur to Singodi, which you mentioned. So the project cost is around 1079 crore, and EPC portion we have mentioned in order book is 790 crores. The difference seems a bit large, so can you just explain that?
It's true that the EPC cost is at 790, so around 800 crores against 1079. So the balance is left at SPV level for taking care of its margins and as well as its IDC and other expenses.
Okay. So just lastly, just wanted to check, how do you see competition in the bidding of HAM and EPC this year?
So we still see there is a large number of players participating, so competition is there. And one needs to be very careful and selective about picking up projects.
Okay, so in terms of margins, we would be we'll have to go to lower margins to get the projects, or just wanted to understand, you know, compared to what we have done, say, previously.
See, normally bid margins are retained, and this all is about engineering around the project. So, bid margins sacrifice karke koi fayda nahi. We try to retain those margins. Last year also we could get around the in MRTH plus NHI. Our orders are to the tune of 5,000 crores. So, even though there is an aggression, there is definitely an opportunity.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jiten Rushi with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my first question is on Jawara 9. So what is the outstanding equity, including subject in the project, sir?
It is, the equity is 287 crores. There is no other debt.
And sir, on the balance sheet side, we can
see crores.
Sorry, sir. I didn't hear you, sir. Can you come back, sir?
There is term loan of 165 crores from the senior lenders.
Ah, okay. 165 crores term loan. Okay. And sir, on the balance sheet side, we can see contract assets and contract liability. So, you know, contract assets going up significantly and contract liability coming up. So, can you explain us the change in the underlying items in it, sir? In the standalone balance sheet? Hello?
Could you go again? Contract asset?
Sir, the contract asset and the contract liability, we can see a significant change. So, if you see in the standalone balance sheet, the contract asset almost gone up around 459. Also, there is a change from. You want to understand what is this change and what are the underlying items in it?
Sir, so contract asset is basically unbilled revenue.
Unbilled revenue, okay. So, sir, the unbilled revenue this time is high, but probably we expect this to come down this quarter, or how is it?
This will come down as billing happens of these, and as turnover goes, it will be on a pro rata basis, it will remain in that range, but it will, from a pro rata, it will come down by approximately 150 odd crores.
And sir, on the contract liability, does it include mobilization advance or how it is, sir?
Yes, it includes.
So this increase is because of the higher share of mobilization advance. And sir, on the Maldives project, obviously the project we have received a long time back. So, is this a fixed price contract, or there will be revision in the contract price if at all we start the work in Q3, as you said in the opening remarks?
Oh, this is a fixed price contract. But this is, payments are in dollars, so dollar appreciation has already happened. And more or less, these prices which has abruptly gone up are now coming to normalized level. So, still it, the contract is still, you know, very much within the budget and margins.
So, we don't see any risk to the margin, right?
Well, we don't see any risk unless, again, we see some erratic price rises.
Mr. Jiten, this is the operator. If you have more questions, please join the queue afresh. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ronald Sioni with Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, you know, the WPI inflation, you know, over the last 12 to 13 months has risen in double digits. And month on month, it has been increased lately to 15%. So, you know, does it not cover, you know, fixed price contracts, or are you baking in these numbers and then you are saying that it's only the 10% impact on fixed price contracts?
This double digit WPI increase definitely is not a factored aspect, but as we have already said, On the revenue side also there are certain increases like if it's a offshore overseas contract, dollar rates have improved, so that has ensured maintenance of the required margins. And as we have said, our general margins would have been in the range of 11.5%. We're now estimating around 10 and 10.5%. So there could be a marginal hit of 1%, 1.5%. It'll all depend how these prices continue to. So at the time of execution, how these prices continue to behave. As you have said, that these are looking better off in the coming, in the last few days and in the coming few months. So we believe that the margins will continue to remain what we have estimated.
Another question is that, NHAI or MOTH, implementing restrictions or increasing restrictions on bidding, say, with respect to net worth or net worth for bidding and those kind of things which were earlier eased. So this is not expected to have any impact on lowering competition or any such thing. Is that understanding correct? And one was that, we are seeing a strong growth in, building and those segments. So are you basically concentrated towards government buildings and not towards, category A builders, which will be throwing up ample growth opportunities? Because buildings you did not cover much, you are not as much optimistic in building segment. Yeah, that is for my side. Thank you.
So we are focusing building segment, EPC segment, and these are normally government contracts or it could be a private contract, but we are not working for builders as such.
Okay.
They are not a real estate play related to this. Yeah.
Okay. And that question with respect to competition, haven't you seen easing because of tightening of some norms from FY23?
Slight tightening has happened, but that may not completely reduce the aggression in the sector.
Okay.
I think this aggression will remain for some time more. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Modi with MK Global. Please go ahead.
Am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah. So my question is the same related to the one asked by one of the previous guys. See, you have told the debt level for FY23 will be approximately 7,000 crores consolidated. Post the deal, you will be left with 3,600 crores.
Correct.
So the 7,000 crore is assuming there is no deal happens. So if the deal happens, what is the
concern? Correct. If the deal happens, then it should go down to 4,000 crores.
Yeah. So instead of the 7,000 crores for FY23, it is 4,000 crores. So there will be a 400 crore jump in consolidated debt.
Yeah, that is because new projects are, the HAM projects are being executed. Their debt drawn will be there. That will continue. That will continue to keep on happening. New projects will be taken. New debt will be taken. As and when the HAM projects are also sold off, again the debt will go down. So it's a continuous process.
Okay. So my next question pertains to capex. FY23, if I'm right, the capex is 125 to 150 crores. For Q4, 90 crores. So what is FY22 total capex?
Total capex itself is not more than 25 to 30 crores.
So let me check that. I'll come back on that. So my question was because the 90% of the capex is done in Q4, am I right? Assuming it is 105, so 90 crores was done in Q4. So just wanted to have that clarity. Hello?
I can get back to you on this separately.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for the day. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Paresh Mehta for closing comments.
We thank you all participants for joining on this call. We are happy to take any further queries if you have. And you may get in touch with us or with Stellar Investor Relationship, our IR guy. So, wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Share and Stockholders, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.